Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP-FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 105. Today's topic is brain drain, or thank you for your service. We'll be talking about brain drain, or thank you for your service, in a few minutes. But first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. At the Climate Report, we believe that climate change is real. And it's not in the distant future, it's in the present. Hello! Record hurricanes, record forest fires, record rains, record droughts, record rainfalls. So climate change is not in the future. The catastrophic effects of climate change are now. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. If you're listening to this show, I'm probably preaching to the choir. But we need to practice our lines. We need to practice what to say to other people who are not quite on board just yet. But the catastrophic effects of climate change are already occurring, not least of all the fact that the oceans are warming along with the atmosphere, and the marine life in the oceans is not adapted to the warmer temperatures. Also, the oceans have absorbed 90% of the excess carbon dioxide that has cropped up in the atmosphere. Marine life is not adapted to that excess carbon dioxide being absorbed into the ocean water. So the disturbing trends are already occurring, and it's time to stop avoiding the issue. I know that you, my listener, are not avoiding the issue, but as a society, we are avoiding the issue, and it's time to start telling the truth. It's time for us to start talking as if climate change is already a real problem and is already causing catastrophic effects, because that is the truth, and anything else apart from that or inconsistent with that is kind of avoiding the truth. So the question is, what would it look like if we stopped pretending? What would it look like if government stopped pretending that there's not really a problem here? What would it look like if the media stopped pretending that there's not really a problem here? What would it look like if the entertainment media was not constantly about the business of distracting us from addressing the problems that are really important for us to address, like, for example, survival? Now, this might sound heavy and deep, but we can have a lot of fun in solving this problem. In solving this problem, we can have the time of our lives. In solving this problem, we can create a whole new world. In solving this problem, we will have to create a democracy such as we have never seen before. I like saying that we have never seen democracy. We have the form of democracy in the United States, but it's more like a charade of democracy. And I don't mean to be negative or to diss the freedoms that we have, but in the economic and political system that we have, no matter who you vote for, they are pro-war. Democrat or Republican, pro-war. No matter who you vote for, they're going to go to Washington, D.C., and they're going to take care of those banks. They're going to take care of you if you're a bank. No matter who you vote for, they're going to go to Washington, D.C., and they're going to take care of those pharmaceutical companies, because those pharmaceutical companies need somebody to take care of them. So we have this kind of charade of democracy where we vote on people, but we don't really get to vote on issues because the candidates are so close together on the issues that we don't have a meaningful choice. So in order to save the climate, in order to save the planet in a form that is habitable to human beings, we're going to need to have a measure of democracy like we have never had before, and we don't have 10 years or 20 years to make that happen. It has to happen like yesterday. For one thing, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has risen from 280 parts per million to 410 parts per million since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. That's an approximate increase of about 50%. and it's set to, you know, double and triple in coming decades if we don't take action right now. Because what has occurred is that the Earth has a temperature. The Earth has a fever. The Earth has a normal temperature, just like human beings have a normal temperature of 98.6. And when our temperature goes up a couple of degrees Fahrenheit, then you have an issue that needs to be addressed. You're not normal when that temperature goes up by 2 degrees Fahrenheit. In coming decades, we will see temperatures of 7 to 11 degrees increase in terms of global average temperatures. Now, could your body, you as a warm-blooded mammal who has a regulated body temperature, could your body survive if you had a temperature of 7 to 11 degrees Fahrenheit? Not very long, if at all. In the same way, the Earth has a temperature. The Earth has a fever. The Earth, you know, most life forms on Earth right now evolved to live within a certain range of temperatures, and we are going up and out of that range as a result of human activities, as a result of human emissions of carbon dioxide. And the reason this is occurring is not because of a free market, not because of normal human activities. It's not because of what people would do under normal circumstances. It's a result of artificially induced consumption that has been caused by these artificial legal and financial structures that we call corporations. Small corporations are harmless. Nothing wrong with a small corporation. But big corporations are just legal structures that do huge favors for people with money. A corporation is a money machine. It is designed to put money in and get more money out. It is designed to concentrate a lot of wealth in a very few hands. And concentrations of wealth are dangerous. We've been taught in America that money is good, that wealth creates more wealth. But we've been taught that in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. We've come to believe that despite all the evidence to the contrary. We've been taught that these big corporations are in the business of creating wealth. But we've been taught to turn a blind eye to instances whereby corporations destroy wealth, or they have money because they have extracted it from the environment of South America or the environment of Indonesia. They have money because they have extracted coal from the hills of Kentucky and West Virginia. They have money because they have raided the public treasury and induced the government to spend lots of money on research. And then when the research turns into something marketable, then Boeing gets to keep all the profits and not pay the taxpayer back for decades of investment in military planes. I've talked more about that in episodes where I talk about spin-off technologies and where I talk about how defense spending, so-called defense spending, is a mechanism whereby the government takes money from taxpayers and gives it to corporations in the form of research and development and procurement and protectionism. And then who benefits? Not the taxpayer who paid for all this research and development, paid for all this procurement, in other words, paid for the government to buy the planes from Boeing and McDonnell Douglas. And then when these defense contracts become hugely profitable, who gets to keep the profits but the shareholders? And the shareholders, most shares are owned by a fraction of 1% of the population. So it's a very unequal distribution of the fruits of our labor. Our labor. We as taxpayers have paid for all this defense spending, and the wealthiest shareholders keep most of the benefits. That's what I call upward wealth redistribution. It's not redistributing wealth downwards as it should be, it's redistributing wealth upwards. It's taking from the poor and giving to the rich. And it's that very same dynamic, that very same phenomenon which brought us climate change. It's that very same phenomenon which brought us nuclear weapons. It's that very same phenomenon which brought us agribusiness, a very unsustainable system for delivering food to people. It's that very same system that causes so much dirty air, water, and soil as a result of mining and mineral extraction and the transport of minerals, because the purpose behind this whole system is profit. If there are any benefits to society, those benefits are incidental to the profit, incidental to the process that generates profit. Now, in all this, I'm not here to say anything bad about small business people, because small business people basically work for a living. Nor am I here to say anything bad about people in the military, because people in the military overwhelmingly are honorable and honest people who just needed a job. But what I'm going to talk about in this episode is when somebody needs a job, we don't just send them into the machine that creates death and destruction. We have other things for them to do when people need a job. The Climate Report is a course in intellectual self-defense, so we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of corporate propaganda and even laugh at it, because the things we are asked to believe are truly ridiculous, and we'll talk a lot about that in this episode, the ridiculous things we are asked to believe. And that's what the Climate Report is all about. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. So today's topic is brain drain, aka thank you for your service. Now, here's the thing. As a society, we have some serious problems to solve. We have to solve the problem of climate change. We have to solve the problem of nuclear weapons. We have to solve the problem of being in the sixth great extinction, whereby we are making species go extinct at a rate that is alarming to any sane or rational person with a knowledge of the facts. So, we have problems to solve. As a society, we have lots and lots of money. Now, that money is unequally distributed, but as a society, we have lots and lots of money. We are, collectively, including the very rich, the richest society that has ever existed. We have the means to accomplish anything we want within reason. There is no shortage of money. Despite the right-wing propaganda, there is no shortage of money. So we have problems to solve. There's lots of money to solve those problems, and we have lots of talent. Despite the problems with our educational system, we are a fairly well-educated people. So we have problems to solve, we have the money to solve it with, and we have a decent educational system that the Republicans and Democrats have not yet destroyed. They're working on it, but they haven't destroyed it yet. Sorry, maybe I got a little carried away there, but all levels of education have been moving toward privatization in recent decades, and I believe that is the wrong direction. So, we have problems to solve, we have talent, but where is the talent going? When college graduates finish school, where do they go? Do they pursue their dream job, or do they get sent down the wrong path? Well, many of them work for Wall Street. Some of the highest paying jobs for college graduates are on Wall Street. They recruit some of the most talented young people, and they may have a degree in something that is unrelated to finance. They may have a degree in physics. They may have a degree in nanotechnology. but they on Wall Street, they want the people that are able to manipulate numbers on a spreadsheet and manipulate financial markets, and that's how they make their money. But they have the money to pay. Also, young college graduates, the most talented young college graduates, sometimes go to work for tech giants like Google or Facebook. Sometimes they go into the military. Sometimes they work for military contractors. Sometimes they work for the surveillance state. So the question is, as a society, are we making the best use of those resources? And let's talk about the military for just a minute. When we see somebody in uniform or we hear that they served, we say thank you for your service. And that's fine, nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to disrespect that at all. But are people in the military the only ones who serve our society? So what I've got here is a list of maybe 30 professions or jobs or tasks that we need to undertake that would be a good alternative to military service, and we need to be paying people to do this work because this work represents problems to be solved. Okay, so what if somebody has an interest in organic farming? Number one, organic farming. Isn't that something that we need? Don't we need to get away from agribusiness? Don't we need to, intelligent people to solve those problems associated with converting from agribusiness to organic farming? You bet we do. Because agribusiness is very destructive, especially animal agriculture is very destructive. We need to convert. If our species is going to survive, we need to convert from agribusiness to small, local, organic farms, and we need to be willing to pay people to do that work, even if it takes government support for such things. Number two, forest ranger. If somebody is a forest ranger, isn't that valuable service? Don't we need somebody in the forest analyzing the health of the trees and the wildlife? Wouldn't that be valuable service? Don't we need that at least as much or more than we need military service? Don't we need that at least as much or more than we need people to work on Wall Street? What about native landscaping? Number three, native landscaping. This refers to native plant landscaping. Native plants are the plants that support our ecosystems. Native plants are the plants that support our insects, so that insects are the linchpin for the entire rest of the ecosystem. Don't we need people involved in that work? We've seen a decline in recent decades by 75. We've lost about 3/4 of our insects in recent decades. And guess what? The free market is not going to solve that problem. The so-called free market solves a few problems, but mainly the free market creates more problems than it solves. Item number four, a labor organizer. So a labor organizer may not be somebody that's paid by the government, but the government needs to support their existence. The government needs to make sure that businesses do not intimidate or threaten people who organize labor. And if we do that, they will be providing a valuable service to the community, and we can say thank you for your service to a good labor organizer, somebody who truly has the interests of the people in mind. Item number five, local public newspaper, a local non-commercial public newspaper. We need this because commercial newspapers and media outlets are not serving us well, because although we have a free press in relation to the government, we have a press that is entirely subservient to commercial interests. That needs to change. In order for it to change, it probably needs to be at least partially funded by government. That's the only way we're going to know the truth about what big corporations really do in the world. When corporations are eliminating pollinators because of heavy use of pesticides, we need to know that. When corporations are illegally breaking up unions, we need to know that is happening. When fossil fuel companies just can't get enough of their dirty, toxic, if profitable, systems of extraction and transport and refinement, we need to know they're doing that, because they're doing that at the expense of everybody, and commercial media do not alert us to these problems. So if somebody worked for a publicly funded local newspaper, we would be able to say, thank you for your service. Item number 6, mass transit engineer. We need to convert to mass transit like yesterday. And some people say, what do people say? People say, we can't afford it. As if we can afford the system that we have now. The highways that we have are always under construction. It costs $10,000 per car per year for people to have automobiles. That system costs us plenty. Hey, I know, let's have the government pay for mass transit so they can save some of us $10,000 per year. And if somebody decides to become an engineer or an urban planner in the area of mass transit, we could say sincerely, thank you for your service. Item number 7, solar engineer. We need solar engineers. We need solar installers. We need technicians to be able to install solar in people's homes. We can pay for this kind of thing if we stop spending $1 trillion a year on defense that only makes us less safe, not more safe. Item number 8, ocean protection. We need to figure out how to be nicer to the oceans, and that is a problem that involves science. It's a problem that involves logistics. It's a problem that involves working with business and nonprofits and government. So if we had a person who was focused on ocean protection, we could say sincerely, thank you for your service. Item number 9, alternatives to meat consumption. So meat consumption is very burdensome to the planet, very burdensome to our resources. It causes lots and lots of deforestation. It causes heavy use of scarce water resources. We need people in our society that are enthusiastic about and focused on alternatives to meat consumption. And if we had such people and if we met such people, we could say sincerely, thank you for your service. Item number 10, wildlife management. We have lost lots of pollinators in recent years. Pollinators, bees, butterflies, birds, which spread seeds and provide a service that way. Ecosystems provide valuable services to human beings. Plants provide valuable services to human beings. Animals provide valuable services to human beings. Butterflies provide valuable services to human beings. Trees provide valuable services to human beings. For example, in an urban area, trees cool the air, and we need that because we're dealing with urban heat island effect. Plus, trees and plants provide services in terms of water filtration. Plus, we just cannot live on this planet without lots of other species. So if we have people focused on wildlife management, we can say sincerely, thank you for your service. Item 11, home energy efficiency retrofitting. This is where you go in and you modernize homes and other buildings so that they are more energy efficient. They do what homes need to do, only with less energy. Now, this would employ lots and lots of people. It would reduce our carbon footprint immediately. It's one of the things that really represents low-hanging fruit. It's what I call one of the 6 pillars of a Green New Deal. The other pillars include mass transit, solar power, wind power, organic farming, and ecosystems management. But we need some people to be focused on home efficiency retrofitting. This is a great growth industry for people, for skilled tradespeople and small local businesses. And if somebody is involved in such work, we will be able to say sincerely, thank you for your service. Item number 12, water management. Managing scarce water resources. Part of that is drawing our attention to the agribusiness and to the fossil fuel industry, including fracking, which just makes monstrous use of our water resources. We need to be on this like white on rice, especially if we care anything at all about human rights, because there are corporations in this world, most of them, that don't care at all about human rights. Then they don't care about the rights of people to clean, safe drinking water. So we need people on the government payroll or otherwise, but we need people to be focused on water management. We need people to be paying attention in the Ohio River Valley here. We need people to be paying attention to this petrochemical hub, which is going to do lots and lots of fracking, which is hydraulic fracturing, which is a new quote-unquote technology that allows petroleum giants to extract even more natural gas and oil from the soil. And so they're going to take these products of fracking, turn them into plastic, store the toxic waste in our backyard, pocket the profits, and when there's a chemical disaster that poisons our water, it's like, oops, sorry, see you in court. Good luck with that. So we need people to be focused on water management. We need people to be informed of and knowledgeable about the issues that go into preserving our water resources so that they are not extracted by rapacious for-profit corporations, and to hell with anybody's rights. Item number 13, native plants. We need people to be focused on native plants. We need people to be focused on, in any given locality, how do we encourage the use of native plants in this locality? This is vital to our ecosystems. This is vital for having a healthy community of plants and animals among us. We need people who know that oak trees have the most edible leaves, at least in my locality, and cherry trees and plum trees are rank number 2, and willow trees rank number 3, and birch trees rank number 4, and maple trees rank number 5. We need people who know that stuff and can teach that stuff so that we redirect some of our money and some of our talent into things that actually matter so that human beings can survive and thrive. So we've got about another minute or two, so let's wrap it up. So one of the things that really trips people up in this effort to shift gears and shift our mindset so that we might somehow pull it out of the fire, so to speak, so that we might do what we need to do so that we have a habitable planet, the thing that really trips people up is the illusion that we have ever had something called a free market economy. Free market economies exist on a small scale. Free market economies exist in a small community among tradespeople. When you get to the national and the international scale, there's no such thing as a free market economy. The government is a major player in our economy. Currently, the government is a major player in terms of its role in defense spending, and most of our technology comes from defense spending. But we need to redirect that whole thing into things that we actually need. Some of the same people that say government is inefficient and government can't do this and government can't do that, they are the first ones to wave the flag and say, let's go to war so we can pummel some little defenseless country. We need to refocus our government on problems that we really need to solve, not on a bloated defense budget that doesn't help anything or anybody. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining me.